שלך, הלב נמשך, אני בוכה להישאר, הכל כדאי, אני חי בארץ ישראל. This is my home, this is the place to be, מרגיש את אלוקיי גם בקרבי, אז תעלה אחי ושב איתי. This is my home.
You're listening to the Bring Them Home Aliyah podcast, hosted by Josh Wander.
Welcome back to Bring Them Home. This is Josh Wander from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. It is Chof Aleph Shvat Tov Shin Pei Aleph Parshas VeYisro. Again, we are privileged to have Rav Nachman Kahana with us today from Yerushalayim. Welcome, Rav Nachman.
Yes, sir. Shalom Yaakov Yosef, sometimes called Josh, Ken. Shalom. Good to be back again.
So what are we going to discuss this week?
We're going to discuss what's important. Important is to come, go leave the Galut and come home to Eretz Yisrael. That's the major thing. That's saving physical lives and spiritual lives. Today is a very special day in my family. Today we are, I'm going to say, celebrating the 100th anniversary of the outside of my great-grandfather, Rav Baruch David Cohen Kahana, that brought the family to Eretz Israel in 1873. My great-grandson is the seventh generation of my great-grandfather. I'm right in the middle. Three in front of me, three after me, I'm right in the middle. Seven generations, 150 years. And so today is 100 years from his passing away. And he is buried about 20, 30 meters from the Ria Kadosh, together my grandfather Nachman Kahana, and they're together, father and son.
Ashrechem, wow, that's amazing. That's your family has been so connected for so long to Eretz Yisrael. We just did a show last night with the historian Yehuda Geberer, and we were discussing the fact that many people confusingly think that Zionism started with Herzl in modern days, and they don't realize that Zionism has been part of the Jewish psyche for generations, for entire history of the Jewish people. So he started with the Ramban. He chose the medieval period, and we went through all of history leading up to the Chovei Tzion until recent times to show that the people that are complaining and saying that we can't come there still because of the secular government or the secular nature of Zionism really are not in tune with history or with what's going on.
I tell you, Yosh, it goes even deeper than that. There was never a day there were no Jews in Eretz Yisrael. You're talking about coming back. Jews are always here in Eretz Yisrael from the time of the Korban or the Romans till today. In fact, there was a family called Zinati family that lived in Pekin for 2,000 years. I met the father and I met the daughter. She never got married, so the family, they cut off. But the Zinati family, father after son and the son and son, for 2,000 years in the town of Pekin. And then Jews came to Eretz Yisrael. But never the time there was no Jews in Eretz Yisrael at all. They're always. In any event, remember last week you read two letters of Haredi people in Chutzaret that opposed the idea of Mayuan. They talk about negation of the Galut and you have to come back to Eretz Yisrael. I'd like to answer those people. Last week when you pulled out these two letters, I had to say, Sholef min amoten. I like off the cuff, I answer them. I would like permission to answer them in a much more sophisticated manner. Just in general, Begadol, I recall, the Gemara said in the Sukkah that the Latid Levo, in the future, Hashem is going to Shecht the Yetzara. Remember my father, Zichron Levracha, telling me, the Yetzara is a Malach. He has such a job, Hashem appointed this Malach, like all other Malachim. He is there in order to whisper terrible things in our ears that we should do Averus. That's the job. Why is he shechted? Why is he being punished for doing his job? My father said to me, the Malach, his mission was to tell a person to do an Avera. What does he do? He tells a person, it's a mitzvah to hate this person. It's a mitzvah not to come to Eretz Yisrael. It's a mitzvah to talk badly about the people in Eretz Yisrael. In other words, he's not tending to an avera. He takes the avera and turns it to a mitzvah. And that's why he has to be shechted. Okay, now I want to get to the basic point. I want to answer Haredi people, of which I'm a part of. I went to Yeshiva Haredim all my life. I'm a part of. But they are a mutation. That we tell you mutation is a famous word, popular word. They are mutation from the Derech HaTorah. Okay, let me start. Most of the Ketubot, the last Amud of the Gemara in Ketubot, it speaks over there, there was a Tana Rebbe, Chia ben Gamda. He would lie in the dust of Eretz Yisrael, not every day, not every moment, but maybe Tisha B'Av, he would lie in the dust of Eretz Yisrael. The expression to the Pasuk and Tilim says, Ki ratzu avadecha et avanah et afra yochanenu. It says, for your stones are dear to your servants, and her very dust moves them to rejoice. In other words, the love of Eretz Yisrael is even the dust of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, I'm going to go on. I'll get to the point at the end. I recall many years ago, a gentleman from Bnei Brak once revealed to me a personal matter, like a little bit after I came to Eretz Yisrael. His children, like many others, never asked what their father did for a living. It happened to families. He had a teenage daughter who was studying in the Beit Yaakov. And one day he arrived home and he found his daughter totally distraught, in real tears. After a little bit of inquiry, she told him that she was on the bus with her friends and they saw her father working, paving the roads. And she was so embarrassed. The man, he told me, then I said to my daughter two things. Number one, each time a new home, a road, or bridge is built in Eretz Yisrael, it brings us one step closer to the day when we will build the Beit HaMikdash. As the Gemara says in Tanit, Gemara says that Gemara quotes the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Lo ekenes the Yerushalayim Shamala, at Shlo kenes Yerushalayim Shamata. I will not enter the heavenly Yerushalayim until I first enter into the earthly Yerushalayim, but not the desert. I built up Yerushalayim. Then I said something out there, told her. I pave roads in Eretz Yisrael. Nachon, that's my work. I pave roads. On my roads, many millions of trips will be taken over the years. And a great percentage of those trips will be made for purposes of mitzvot. People are going to Torah study, the tefillot, britot, weddings, nechum avilim for the mourners, and many, many good deeds that people do. And every one of those millions upon millions of mitzvah acts, I will have a share, because I made it possible by their performance. He said his daughter understood his words of wisdom and was forever proud of the man who paved roads in Eretz Yisrael. I would like to explain exactly what the father was telling his young daughter. Eretz Yisrael, by definition, called Eretz HaKodesh, the Holy Land, as stated by the Navi Zechariah in Perek Bet, Nachal Hashem et Yudah, Chalkol Ramat HaKodesh, B'chal Ob Yerushalayim. Hashem will inherit or choose Yehuda as his portion in the Holy Land, and will again choose Yerushalayim. Zechariah calls Eretz Yisrael the Holy Land, called Holy Land. Eretz Yisrael is the earthly simulation of Hashem's heavenly sanctity. In Eretz Yisrael, every act has spiritual implications, be it a road, a fruit orchard, a bridge, a tank, and even a sewer system. Everything, because every act advances us toward the day when Hashem will enable us to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. In contrast, Chazal denoted all of the Galut, even the great Vilna, Tumat Eretz Ha'amim, the impurity of the foreign lands. Even the shuls in Yeshivot and Chutz La'aretz have only a fleeting temporary sanctity. A shul and yeshiva can be sold on condition that we not be used for unbecoming purposes, but it can be sold in Chutz La'aretz. In Eretz Yisrael, once a shul, always a shul. We in Hashem's Holy Land, it's true, we have yet to reach perfection, true, but we will. The land was held desolate by Hashem for us to come till we came home. For 2,000 years, our absence, no Gentile people was able to cultivate and settle the land. When we returned, the land blessed them. It took courage, perseverance, and self-sacrifice so that today the land is a model of agriculture, high tech, and all things that signify a modern, robust society. In the spiritual realm, there's no equal. A friend told me that in the 1940s, he was a student in a yeshiva in Tel Aviv. There was one yeshiva in Tel Aviv. There were two in Yerushalayim, Eitz Chaim and Chai Olam, and barely anything else in the country. At that time, he told me, that the people believed that that was the last generation of B'nai Torah in Eretz Israel. Lo and behold, we have created a kingdom of Torah in quality, quantity, and Torah pride. But we still have a way to go to perfection, but it's in our sights. The difference between Galut and Eretz Israel can be illustrated in a light but serious incident involving Winston Churchill when he was a young member of Parliament. Churchill liked to drink. He once arrived at Parliament inebriated, drunk. A woman member said to Mr. Churchill, "You are drunk." And he replied, "Madam, you are ugly. Tomorrow I shall be sober." Meaning tomorrow, we shall merit to see all the prophecies coming alive here. But your beloved Galut will forever be Tameh. Okay, should I go on or stop here?
No, definitely go on. We're loving it.
The last Mishnah in Masechet Sota, a very interesting Mishnah. They're all interesting. The scribes of society will look in the period just prior to the Mashiach. Among other distasteful scenarios, Mishnah mentions chutzpah yaske, impudence, insolence, audacity will be prevalent within society. There will be no honor for the elderly or for the Talmidei Chachamim. Chutzpah takes many forms. Pushing ahead in the line of anxious people, or foul-mouthing decent people, and much more. In our generation, we unfortunately encounter one of the most dire and disgraceful appearances of chutzpah stemming from arrogance and ignorance. It's the disgraceful, holier-than-thou attitude of some Haredi people in Chutz La'aretz, who have the audacity to criticize holy people in Eretz Israel. Every day we struggle to rebuild our ancient homeland, but the atum opportunity that Hashem gave us after 2,000 years in insane Galut. In order to understand the immensity of the task and miraculous help we receive from Hashem, just consider for a moment. We are a small parcel of land in the midst of savage and brutal enemies. We number 6.5 million Jews, and they are in the hundreds of millions in 22 countries. It's like, for example, the city of New York having to defend itself and develop against the other 230 million people in the 50 states of America. You're correct. It will be impossible. Yet Am Yisrael in the Holy Land is enveloped by Hashem's Shekhinah, in the face of which numbers have no relevance for Klal. Yitro and our Pasha have previously served as one of Pharaoh's three most trusted advisors, who was well-versed in public administration. You know that no man, even when as gifted as Moshe Rabbeinu, could alone administer a nation of millions. Moshe, too, was aware of this irregular situation, but was precluded from instituting any change for two reasons. Moshe, number one, knew the most minute details of the Torah. Others did not know it. And Moshe cannot institute any changes when they were sanctioned by Hashem. Moshe brought Yitro's suggestion before Hashem, and necessary changes were instituted. Yitro saw the abnormality and deviation of the situation of the uneven distribution of historic responsibility, where the few bear the responsibilities of the many, which leads to an eventual self-destruction. Modern-day Israeli government supported and manned by Jews taking responsibility for 37 ministries and offices addressing specific needs of the diverse population, plus judiciary and legislative branches. Yes, there's room for improvement, and the best way to accomplish that is for halachic of Jews to return home, there to serve, and participate in the rebuilding of our nation, and not to stay away and criticize. The next time you criticize the people, just recall what happened to Yeshayahu in Parak 6 of Yeshayahu. Yeshayahu says the following: At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Woe to me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and dwell among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the Lord. Then one of the seraphim, one of the angels, flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from with tongues from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt has taken away and your sin. What is your guilt? You said, I dwell among a people of unclean lips. That's where you speak about Am Yisrael. Just want to end and say my prayer regarding this segment of Am Yisrael, Yeshiva Shacharedi, people in America. May Hashem open your eyes to the miracles that Hashem performs to his children in Eretz Yisrael every moment. And may your merit to learn Torah from Rabbanim, who would have been among the 20% who left Egypt, that's Moshe, and now with the 80% who so much loved the Galut of Mitzrayim. Be careful, be healthy, be here.
That is what the Gemara says in Ketubot 1:10, that our sages taught that one should always live in Eretz Yisrael, even in a city where the majority are idol worshippers, and not outside of Eretz Yisrael, even in a city where the majority are Jews. For everyone who lives in Eretz Yisrael resembles one who has a God, and everyone who lives outside Eretz Yisrael resembles one who has no God. I mean, if we were to say that, we would be attacked for being radical, but that is what the Talmud says. So what can we do?
It seems at the end of the day, those that come here are those that Hashem want them to come here. And those that don't come, Hashem puts all kind of reasoning, logical reasoning in their minds, and they stay away. Eretz Yisrael was never really a drawing point for the great numbers of people. Yeshua came, okay. When Ezra came back, only 42,000 came back with him. It was then remember the Dor HaMidbar, 600,000 men died. Eretz Yisrael was a place, it was a unique place for people. For example, not everybody is a maven on a diamond, but for people who understand, know what it is. You have to be a maven in Eretz Yisrael. There has to be something inside you. I have family and friends who are Dathim. I have also Dathim friends, but each one of them, there's a reason why they're not Dathim. Remember, each one of us, had it been brought up in families from not Dathim, would not be Dathim either. But they have inside them a natural, inherent love for this country. I think more people, Mitael, people, walk around the country. They learn it they just want to touch the country. But if you don't feel it, don't feel it. Tell a blind man, explain to him, what is a red ball? It doesn't work, it doesn't go. The hearts are closed, eyes are closed. And like I said before, the Yetzirah says, the mitzvah, tell you there it's a song. It's a mitzvah not to come, a mitzvah to stay in chutzah. Makasha, not the mitzvah in the world, that's the mitzvah you want. Stay there. It's your loss, not our loss.
The Sifrei says that living in Eretz Yisrael is equivalent of all the mitzvot in the Torah. So it's not just the mitzvah, but I would posit that throughout the generations, people took our view that living in Eretz Yisrael is the goal, and that's what we want to do, and that's what we should strive to do if we have it in our ability to do it. And it's only within the past century and a half, that people came up with this idea because of politics or whatever it is, that or secular Zionism, whatever the reasons are, that there's some reason to speak against it. I don't think in all the generations from the beginning, from our beginning until recently, anyone would have even considered saying something against living in Eretz Yisrael. I think it's just a recent phenomenon. Would you disagree?
Yeah. I tell you, I have a different take on it. There were Gedolei Torah, the time of beginning of political Zionism, that opposed political Zionism. They saw it because the Lo Dati. So go make a religious Zionist organization. They were opposed to Zionism for another reason, which I'm sure they said among themselves, but they didn't say it out loud. They opposed Zionism because they know it's going to succeed. And these Rabbanim said, we have no experience in halakha of how to run an army, a police, a medina, economic affairs, world economy. We don't have this now, Sheldon Shubot. We can't come to Eretz Israel and say we, the halacha, cannot solve these problems because we don't know. But what happened? So they opposed Zionism. They said, better not have a Medina. We'll stay in the ghettos where we are in the Shtetlach. But here we have halachot. A Medina? Who can control a Medina? Who knows what to do about a Medina? And that's, I think, that's the real reason they opposed to it. Not because they opposed to Eretz Israel, Chas v'Chalila. What happened? Hashem, in his wisdom, forced us to come here, and the Rabbanut here solves all the problems. We have Medina that can run on halacha, and it does. The electric company, for example, the army, the police, hospitals, everything is under halacha. We have answers for everything. So the great Rabbanim of 150 years ago, they made a mistake. The mistake was they did not have pride in their ability to be able to take the halacha and solve the halacha problems. That's where it came from. And then afterwards, they have the mutations that, Ladakam and Solovo. It's all mutations. Fact of the matter is, the healthy part of Am Yisrael, even the healthy part of Am Yisrael, they speak about Israel in terms of a nation, not of a shtibel or shtetl, an Am. And Am includes all kinds of people. Remember on Yom Kippur, we say, we daven with the avayanim. We include everyone in our davening because we talk about Am Yisrael, and a nation has all kinds of people. That's what it is, but you have to be able to open up your mind and think in terms of, again, of a nation, an Am, which includes all kinds of people.
I often hear this line. I was just wondering what's your reaction to it is. I'm sure you've heard the same over your years, where people say, I have nothing against Israel. It's just my problem is with Israelis. Your reaction.
I love Israelis. Israelis are the nicest people in the world. They're like they're a sabra fruit. Sabra fruit is very prickly on the outside, but sweet on the inside. These are Israelis. Inside, they're metukim. That's a little bit prickly. Remember, that's the way you stay alive in a country like this. Not so simple.
No, but I think their argument is that we're not saying any chas v'shalom that we're going to say dibas ha'aretz against Eretz Yisrael. Our problem is not with Eretz Yisrael. Our problem is with the people that are running Eretz Yisrael, that are controlling Eretz Yisrael, that are dwelling in Eretz Yisrael. Those are the problems.
According to Book, I should say, you know what? I've got a problem. It's called Am Yisrael. I'll exchange it for other people. Hashem never said that. That's what it is. It takes these kind of people to be able to stand up in the situation and to be able to struggle and to be able to, like I told you, to develop a country, 6 million people, 350 million enemies. You know what you're talking about? Of course, they're a little bit rough, so what? But they're sweet. They're sweet.
I have one more serious question for you, and this is a question which unfortunately people are familiar with, that there are many great Orthodox Jews growing up and living and raising families in Chutz La'aretz, and they're in communities, very strong communities. And then they come here, and their children have a lot of difficulties. Their children start to see other Jews doing other things, and they chinuch. This is a question that's always asked. Chinuch is much more difficult. I would find it hard to deny that chinuch is more difficult in many ways here than it is in Chutz La'aretz, because you're in an isolated ghetto in Chutz La'aretz. And it's us and them. It's either you're with us or you're part of the goyim. And here there's a whole variety of Jews that are many of them are wearing kippot and they're doing all sorts of things. And it's what is your answer to someone who says I can educate my children here in Chutz La'aretz better than I can in Eretz Israel?
Stay in Chutz La'aretz. Don't come here. Don't come here. We don't need you. Stay there. Chances are, if you take someone from a Chalil Shabbat today in Israel, and someone who's a real Talmud Chacham in America, three generations, four generations down the line, the child or the great-grandchild of a priest in Israel will have peyot and be a Talmud Chacham And the great-grandchild, the person in America, will marry a Sixer. That's what it proves out. America ain't by its shame or myth. That's what it is. But again, you want to find a reason. You can find 100 reasons not to get married. You can find 100 reasons not to get stuck up. And what kind of reasons? Hashem gave the Yetzirah. Yes, it was very smart. It puts into your brain things that people don't want you to come at. It puts into your brain all kind of reasons. Bringing up children is not easy anywhere, especially not in today's world. So please, guard your children. Give them good education. And say, good friends. What are you talking about? It's hard to be a parent today. It's also hard to be a youngster today. To be a teenager today is not easy. But that's what also, I'm not a problem solver. I can only teach people what to do. You got a problem? I don't know. But if that's your attitude is, like I said, you can find 100 reasons not to come here and 100 reasons to come. I remember one hearing a very nice little story. The two ships in Haifa Harbor. One ship was filled with Olim, and one ship was filled with Yordim, leaving the country. And both ships meet each other, and the passengers run, each to the other, and they both scream out one word, Mishuga. The Ola can understand the Yored, you can understand the Ola. It depends what you are, what your makeup, what your DNA, what your religious DNA, what the Jewish DNA. If you don't have it, you're not going to come, because that's what you are. You're part of the Erevra. No one can convince you, Bakla. No one even tried to convince you. It depends what the neshama that Hashem gave into your body. Where is it taken out from?
So are we fighting a pointless battle because those that cannot be convinced, we're not going to convince them?
No, because you also have yechidim, individuals, who are in a situation that are influenced by negative people. They do, for those yechidim, you're not going to bring in a mass of people unless anti-Semitism. The masses, told you before, masses never came to Eretz Israel. It was always a unique kind of a person. We have to talk to the individuals. You have this organization, bring them home. Each family that you could save, you save a family. Let me go back again to my great-grandfather. Came 150 years ago. How many descendants does he have here? I don't even want to say B'lein Hara. You save one family, you're saving thousands of people. You're bringing them here.
But
you're going to save more than one family, B'zat Hashem. But it's like you go into an orchard, not every fruit is perfect. You have to take down the good ones. And you have to deal with those that are going to listen to you. I remember it was a few years ago, there were signs on a major thoroughway in Florida, and it was put up by the Jewish Agency, and the sign said, come home before Abba becomes daddy. Mm-hmm. Once he becomes daddy, you're not going to come here anymore. You're finished.
And that campaign was quickly squelched because people were complaining about how that made them feel.
Yeah. Anyway, the daddy is also Tati. And it's also same thing. There are always people, very few people really came here to Eretz Yisrael because, again, it's unique. The word is a better word than unique. It's something for experts to understand this country. I remember I once saw a map, someone pointed out, when you go by a plane over the city of Beth El, a little bit north of Yerushalayim, maybe you heard about it, the ridges and mountains form the letters Yud, Hey, above, and a Hey. And you see it. It's like written in the mountains and the ridges. Something to see. My name. Okay.
I have one more question before we finish, if I may. This week was a very difficult week for the Jewish people. We lost some of our greatest minds of the last generation. Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Schneider, Rav Twersky. What does Rav Nachman see happening? We seem to be losing an entire generation, like the Dor HaMidbar. There's only the youngsters are going to be left. We're left without, we're left as orphans without a whole generation that's disappearing before our eyes?
First of all, lo aman Yisrael. What does it mean? The Am Yisrael is not a widower. Hashem will always bring the necessary leaders. If you tell me the great Talmud Chacham died, he's 50 years old, and he's 30 years old. But one was 98 years old. The other was 99 years old. That's why they are Cholam. People are born, people live, people die. Why do you want to live forever? These are old people, and then that's what it is. And you can't have, remember there's a Gemara that says, someone said to Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, I don't wish you a long life. He said, why? Because I want your children to have an opportunity to lead the nation also. There comes a time, that's what it is. People go on, what can you want? Anyone who lives after 70 years, like David HaMelech said, every day is a gift. Give you 10, 70 years, 70 shana. Someone lives another 30 years. What do you want? It's old people.
You remind me of a story that Rev Steinman was once, he was over 100 years old, and he went to his young doctor in the hospital, and he said to the doctor said to Rev Steinman, he said, you know that every day you're alive is a miracle. And Rev Steinman turned to the doctor and said, every day that you're alive is also a miracle.
I recall once I was in the hospital and I had to speak to the head of the thoracic surgery and his assistant. And I wanted them, you know, to get a little bit more ruchnius. And I said one day to the head of the department, when you're holding someone's heart, having a heart operation, what makes it pulse? Where's the chashmal? Where's the battery? He says to me, he knew what I was meaning, what I meant. He said, when I'm holding someone's heart, I have no time to think about these kind of things. The next day, he spoke to his assistant. I had the same question. When you're holding someone's heart, what do you think? Where's the battery? He says to me, Hamtzan, oxygen. But both of them knew what I was saying. Anyway, that's what it is, Yoshua. Keep on, Hashem should give you strength and wisdom. Jewish people are not an easy bunch of people. Everybody knows that. But they're the greatest people in the world. I said, Avraham Avinu was a mutation from humanity, but a good mutation. And then Yitzchak was a bloody mutation. Until they came to Mitzrayim, we had already millions of mutations. We are different than other human beings. We are the Jewish people, something else. If you're part of the discourse, if you're not, then you're something else. Okay, we'll talk next week. B'ezrat Hashem, everyone should be healthy and happy and do the right thing.
Amen. Thank you so much for being with us. Be well. Shabbat shalom.
Thank you for listening to the Bring Them Home Aliyah podcast. If you identify with our message, please subscribe and tell your friends about us too. You can leave us a review on iTunes, as that really helps us grow. We're available on iTunes, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts. For sponsorship opportunities and for all other inquiries, please email us at bringthemhomeisrael@gmail.com. Check out our website at www.israeltorah.org for more content on this vital topic. This is the place to be.